Our talk this morning is on the evaluation of plant growth enhancement products on low desert cotton. We've tested quite a few products in the last several years. Today we're going to be talking primarily, we're going to be sticking with those we tested on a variety which is called Delta Pine 164 B2RF. As we've looked at these trials, we're going to be looking basically about three different products. We're going to be looking at a BM86, which has been discussed in some other talks yesterday. We're going to be looking at Foligrow Aminofol Maximize, and we're also going to be talking a little bit about Stance. So those are the products we're going to be talking about primarily in the talks today. These are all large-scale field trials. They're basically about 1,200-foot-long rows, 8 to 12 rows per plot. There were 6 replications for the Stance experiment, which was just done in 1 year. We had 4 replications for the other products. The BM86 we tested 2 consecutive years, but we're really only going to be talking about the 2006 data. It was not tested in 2007. The other thing we want to point out is that these were all commercially harvested and under grower conditions. For those of you not familiar with some of these products, just to give you a quick update about them, the BM86 is kind of a seaweed kelp extract. It's therefore thought to have some high levels of cytokinins in it as well that promote plant growth. It's kind of unique in that it also contains various polyamines which are help produce some of the polyamines in the plants as well and increase them, which helps to fight stress. In the low desert, we can have lots of stress. It's not unusual for our daytime temperatures in the summer to hit 120, but that's in the shade. The Foligrow Aminofol Maximize is a 5% calcium, 1.25% zinc. It also has a carboxylic acid, which is the ATCA, which is acetylthiazolidone carboxylic acid, and it does have some plant growth regulator activities from the carboxylic acid activities of this particular product. In 2006, we're looking at a couple of different experiments. We looked at BM86 applied once, which is at early bloom in early June. We looked at it applied twice, again about a month later. We looked at the mepiquat chloride applied by itself in early bloom. We looked at the combination of BM86 plus the mepiquat chloride, a single application of these products versus 2 applications, as well as looking at the combination mepiquat chloride plus BM86, as well as adding the Foligrow Maximize to that, and that was done with 2 applications as well. These plots were 11 rows of 164 and 1 row of DPL 167RF. It's just how the grower had the field set up, so we had 11 of one and 1 of the others. One thing I'm going to bring to your attention is that we noted that we had a different mixing sequence with the BM86 and the mepiquat chloride between the June application and the July application. June we had the mepiquat chloride first and then BM86. In July it was the other way around. And I'm bringing that up to you because I think we're going to be talking about that a little bit later. If we look at the 2005 data, we see our entry there on our far right. We had kind of 2 applications of approximately 1 quart of BM86 there on the far left. You can see our combination of the BM86 plus the 12 ounces of mepiquat chloride in 2005 resulted in a little bit of reduction of seed cotton, the mepiquat chloride by itself at 16 ounces on the 449, 494 varieties did give us a bit of an increase. But that was in 2005. We wanted to see what was going to happen in 2006, when we had a little bit more control over things because we had some problems in that particular study. In 2006, as you go from left to right, the BM86 over there by itself, you can see our seed cotton compared to the check. We had a little bit of the bump with the on your far left with the BM86 from a single application. The high one there, the 2 applications BM86 by itself, which went slightly over 7,400 pounds of seed cotton per acre. As we look at a single application of BM86 plus mepiquat chloride, third bar from left, again, is a little bit above the check. But it's kind of interesting, again, when you look at 2 applications of the combination, is very similar to the check. When we add the meaningful Foligrow to it, again, we've got a big kind of a bump up, about 100 pounds the acre. Mepiquat chloride by itself, again, very similar to the untreated check in this particular study. Kind of interesting, however, looking at cotton lint turnouts. And we had very, very good control on this. We have a lot of confidence in this data. And you can see the BM86 combinations once or twice by themselves gave us a little bit more cotton lint turnout. Kind of interesting. We see a big difference in one application of the combination with the BM86 versus the two applications, and that's kind of one goes up, one goes way down compared to the check. We're not sure if it's a mixing problem and if there's some antagonism in the tank, the way those two pipes get mixed in the sequence or not. We do not know this. It's kind of interesting, though, however, when you add the BM86 to it with the mepquot chloride and then add the Meanifol Foligro with it, which is the third bar from the right, we can see there is a nice increase compared to the BM86 plus mepquot chloride by itself twice. And again, the mepquot chloride singly was very similar and again, somewhat positive. So we suspect there might be some antagonism, but do not know that for a fact. It's kind of interesting looking at the seed turnout, too, because we looked at the seed. We can see we've got a couple bars there giving us a pretty good jump in seed. If we have big seeds, we should expect more fiber. And so this may be a little bit of what is happening. Looking at the lint yields, when we mesh this down, what are we on a per acre basis? No, these are not atypical desert depth. Our best treatment over there, the BM86 two applications, pushing very close to 2,500 pounds of lint per acre. Very happy with that. That's about 300 pounds of lint per acre increase in this case compared to the check. Again, your mepquot chloride plus the BM86 twice actually gave us a reduction. Our cotton strength, very similar. Again, as we add two applications of BM86 plus mepquot chloride and then again add the Meanifol, it does increase that strength. It's kind of interesting also looking at the length as well. We saw a big increase in that cotton lint length from the combination of all three products. Uniformity, a little bit of an increase in certain products, not substantial. Micronair, a little bit up and down. Bottom line is for the growers, what are the economics? As you can see, once we put all the data from the gin, and these are commercial data, and what the grower actually got paid, you can see on the bottom down there, on your bottom left-hand corner is the untreated check. You can see that cotton was worth 56.5 cents a pound that particular year. The combination of the BM86 plus the mepquot chloride plus the Meanifol Foligro gave us the highest value on a per pound of lint, which is at 57.22 cents a pound. However, if we're looking at our values per acre, we're looking at almost $1,400 an acre from the BM86 twice applied. And if we look at the penciling out, how did this value compare to the check? We're looking at $158 an acre, not net, but gross, compared to the untreated check. The only one that was negative in this particular situation was the BM86 plus mepquot chloride twice by itself, which is about $100 worse than a single application, which we can't explain right now at this point in time. So as far as what looks really positive, in this particular study, it was the BM86 by itself twice. The study needs to be repeated so we have some more confidence in this data, but it's very interesting this could be happening. So where are we for the future on this situation? We noticed, we saw that reduction in yield. Why? Perhaps it was due to the mixing sequence, perhaps something else, we really don't know. We did see the Meanifol Foligro really increase those cotton fibers and increase that value, but didn't necessarily have the lint increase. That may have been due, perhaps, to the addition of the mepquot chloride in there. Again, we're speculating that, but we don't know for sure. As far as some questions for the future, we really don't know what's going to be happening as far as just a BM86 plus an Meanifol combination. It has not been tested yet to find out. It may be, it may not. And the one thing that I wanted to leave you with as far as the growers is that we saw the second application of BM86 was worth another $107 an acre over one application. But the question is, was this an additive effect or strictly a timing effect? That we don't know yet at this point in time. And I don't think I'm going to be finding out because I will have to leave that up to other people to test. I just wanted to touch a little bit about some stance and mepquot chloride data as well. Those of you are probably familiar with stance. It's got 8.4% mepquot chloride, and it also has a carboxylic acid in it as well. And we looked at 2 and 3 ounces per acre of stance. compared it to 12 ounces of the 4.2% Mepiquat chloride. We put this on at the four bowl stage when cotton was nearing cutout. These were fairly large pots again, and we harvested these in late July. And we did also collect some chlorophyll senescence readings with this bad 502 meter, which is kind of interesting because we did see some chlorophyll data differences about 2 weeks later on July 24th, where we noticed as stents had been applied, we were seeing lower readings, which we were interpreting to mean that the plants are coming out of cutout a little bit faster with the stents than Mepiquat chloride or the untreated check by itself. So with that, what we're going to see as far as yields, we weren't going to see a lot probably, but one thing we found very interesting to us is when we harvested these plots, and these were all double picked plots for the most part, on the far right here of the picked stuff is the stance. To the left of it is the untreated check, and I don't know if we can quite see it in this picture as well as we could in the field, but as we look down there, we could see lots and lots more bowl carpels remaining on the stance treated plots than we could on Mepiquat chloride or the untreated check. Well, I don't know what that means physiologically as far as what was happening, but it seems like we're keeping a lot more bowl carpels on the plants after picking, which we had not necessarily seen in other experiments. Well, if we look at our yields, again, 2 ounces of stance, a little bit better than three, the Mepiquat chloride giving us a bit of a yield bump as far as seed cotton went. But when we look at the turnouts, we're seeing a little bit higher turnout from the stance than we did untreated or the Mepiquat chloride. When we put this all together, we're seeing a little bit of a yield increase then from the Mepiquat, the 2 ounces of stance versus and Mepiquat chloride versus the untreated. Again, we're looking at turnouts of seed. Again, the stance is giving us a higher seed turnout. It's not surprising considering how many more carpels were probably not in the having to go through ginning. We're seeing not much difference in grades or yields. If we look at the economic, again, we're seeing a little bit of a bump in strength from the stance. Uniformity was a little bit down, which is not surprising. Sometimes it's correlated. No differences in value in this particular experiment. If again, we're looking at the value differences, we're seeing a little bit of an increase from the stance and Mepiquat chloride, about $60 an acre from the low rate, $30 from the high rate. One thing we also noted in both experiments with the BM86, as well as we saw with the stance and Mepiquat chloride, in both cases, the Mepiquat chloride is giving us about $30 to $35 an acre more value per acre in both experiments. And with that, I see my time is being held out almost up here. So with that, one thing I did note is kind of an interesting observation on this particular variety, a single application of the Mepiquat chloride on the 164 held the plants back for a little bit. And after that, they really got a lot taller than the untreated check, and it happened in both experiments. So it's kind of interesting. I think it's going to see that we need to do a little bit more management with that particular variety with Mepiquat chloride rather than a single application. And with that, I'll take some questions if there are some questions.
We've got time for a couple questions if anybody has any.
What kind of questions? The question is, did we just look at the bowls and take yield components that way? No, we did not. We just took it as a commercial harvest, had it commercially ginned after we got the turnouts and everything from small bag samples. But as far as looking at the proportion of bowls to bowl sizes, we did not do that in these experiments.
Were the years that these trials done fairly typical? I mean, in terms of the intensity of the heat stress, or worse than normal?
The question was, what was the heat stress in the low desert in 2006? Because that's when the majority, or both these experiments that we talked about, were completed. 2006 was a very hot year. We hit some temperatures 122, 123. But that usually is kind of interesting. The question is, when did those coincide with the crop phenology? In this particular situation, 2006, those high temperatures pretty much coincided with cutout. So it may not have been, if they'd been, say, a month later or 2-3 weeks later when the plants were coming out of cutout, our results may have been somewhat different.
Okay, that concludes. Thank you.